And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday, post-Masters Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Coming to you live on X. Some of you listening right now on our audio platforms, we appreciate that. Some of you going to our video platforms, which is growing on YouTube, Travis Fulton Golf. We appreciate that. Getting some nice feedback from some of the audience, which is always nice to hear. Keep that coming. Of course, leave us a ranking, comments, all those things, you know, that help the algorithm and all that. But we appreciate you being here. We are into the golf season. The Masters is over. Scottie Scheffler, no surprise, gets his second green jacket. Our man joining us, he was in Augusta, and now he's in Hilton Head Island, the one and only, at Read the Line, Keith Stewart. How you doing, buddy? How's the stamina right now? You feeling okay?
The commute wasn't too bad. I didn't get blown away in Augusta. Good afternoon on a Tuesday, Travis. Pleasure to be with you always, each and every Tuesday. 160 miles down here to the low country. It's just such a beautiful spot down here. I guess if you're going to force the PGA Tour to go anywhere, I think they'd much rather go here than Cromwell, Connecticut the week after the U.S. Open. So the guys are tired. They're a little weary. It was a long week last week, but $20 million perks them back up, and I think they'll be ready to go come Thursday.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, a lot to get to there. No Victor Hovland. He withdrew. Got some thoughts on that coming up. Scottie Scheffler has a pro-am tee time tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. But I want to talk about the Masters, Augusta, your boy Ludwig, who you know, you've been big on from day one. Oh. He looks so good, so good. -7, his first go around at Augusta National. It'll be his first go around this week at Harbortown. And just no match for the world number one, Scottie Scheffler. He's starting to show now. He can do it in different ways. His driver was dominant. I made the comment on social media. I said, look, I think Scottie Scheffler, at the end of the day, and this is not just a, you know, a loose comment that I just thought of. I've been thinking about this. I think Scottie Scheffler at the end of the day is going to go down as the greatest driver of the golf ball ever. I mean, he just hits it long and he hits it straight and he's in the middle of the fairway. I don't think Scottie's going to try to change his swing at some point. I mean, it is just automatic with the driver off the tee, 300 plus, low, high, right to left, left to right. In the short grass. If it's not in the short grass, it's bleeding into the first cut. I mean, it's unbelievable how dominant. We know his iron game is exceptional, but his short game. I mean, look, he didn't really have his A iron game for Scottie standards, and he had to lean on the short game, which was fantastic. And his putter continues to improve. I don't know, man. You know, you start winning major championships without, you know, perhaps your number one weapon, which is your iron game. This is pretty dominant stuff. I predicted, what, 6 wins at the start of the year?
I think 5. I think you said 5. I think you might have started with 6, and I backed you into 5.
Okay.
But you definitely said he was going to take over. And there's a big test coming up here, Travis, because Scottie's got 9 wins, but none of them have ever come after the second week in April. So the next time he wins this year would be a big breakthrough for him.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, February, March, April, all of his wins.
Not that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not to mention 4 of them have come twice at the same place. Now, granted, it's nice to win 2 green jackets or to win the Players twice, but twice in the desert, WMPO, and twice at API at Bay Hill.
He's never had a top 10 at Harbortown. He's only played once, right? He's only finished 11th. So
they shoved him here. Yeah, they shoved these guys here last year. He finishes 11th, and he only gained 9 strokes on the field. Just 9. No big deal. Yeah. Finish 11th. Yeah. Ho hum.
What else stood out to you at Augusta? You know, you were on property. How are the vibes between PGA Tour players, LIV players? Of course, John Rahm, you know, he had a comment that, yeah, some guys came out, gave me a hug. Some other guys kind of gave him the cold shoulder, really didn't give him the time of day. I mean, what do you think the overall vibes were between the two?
You know what? Let me wrap a bow on Scottie first before we lose
that.
And I just want to say a couple things, because as I was digging in and I was doing some homework, I really was impressed. And you know me, I've been very critical that he hasn't been a killer and he hasn't won enough. And I've always compared him to Tiger, and that's unfair. So I'm not here to make it a comparison. But for historical value, what Scotty's doing right now is extremely impressive. Only four guys have won two green jackets before the age of 27. Scotty's one of them, Jack, Tiger, and Seve. Okay. Only three guys have won two players and two green jackets, Jack, Tiger, and now Scotty. And only two guys have won the players and the Masters in the same year, and that's Tiger and Scotty. Scotty's pretty impressive, man. I'll just put a bow on that by saying that the guy is so centered and grounded. And everyone's like, well, wait till he becomes a dad. I'm like, well, wait. You know, like Jack had like 100 kids and Barbara took care of it and he went out and he still won. You know, like, I feel like Scotty, he's got the best player caddy relationship. He's got the best course management. He's obviously got the best ball striking. I think that what I really kind of jokingly said, he's only won in February, March, and April. There wasn't Grand Slam talk, which was interesting to me on property, but overall, Scotty, man, it was really impressive because his iron game wasn't super sharp. And right. Every time somebody went and pushed him, he pushed back and they fell over. So to me, that was pretty cool. You and I are established and we're not the only ones. And I'm done with Scotty now. But as we get into the LIV conversation and the question that you asked me, I've got a quick question for you.
Okay.
And I think this is a fun one. And the LIV thing, I think Rom just had a bad week and he was on edge and people kept pushing him, right? Yeah. Brooks had a bad week, but no one was going after Brooks because they wanted to go after Rom. He's the defending champion. He had a lot more questions to have to answer, right? But who's the second best player in the world right now?
Right?
Right?
Yeah, let me chew on that as we get into this, because I've got some thoughts there. I don't want to get too off track, but that's a really good question. Who is the number two ranked player in the world?
No, not ranked. I don't care about the rankings anymore.
Just the number two player in the world.
Obviously Scotty is far and above, right?
Right.
But then there's this pool of players there that are competing to be the second best guy, and they're on two different tours. So like, I just think it's a really cool question.
It is a good
question. Whether we do it this week or not, I want to have that conversation with you because you're always thinking that way. And that's what I love about doing this show versus some of the other shows I do, which is just like, hey, Keith, who do you pick? And then bye. You know, like we're talking about, you know, we're putting golf and golf betting. And I was very high on Rom last week. Mm-hmm. Right. And I thought I had the tea leaves read correctly, that he would be a major contender to Scotty. Now, did I really think that Rom could beat Scotty 3 times out of 10? No, but I thought that there was a chance. I thought that he was somebody that could really contend, and he didn't do that. So that was interesting to me. And obviously he's going to come back madder, stronger, better for Valhalla, but it just made me think about, there's been a lot of talk. Is it Wyndham Clark? Is it Rory? Is it the new kid? Who is this person that wants to be number two? Is it Xander? There's a lot of names right there and it's kind of cloudy and murky. And sometime between now and Valhalla, we got to have that conversation.
Well, I would probably still say it's Rom. I mean, I know he didn't play well, but I still think, and he hasn't won on LIV yet, but given what he did last year, I think Rom's still probably the number two guy, but this Ludwig is on his way. He's going to have to, you know, get back in the winner's circle and this and that to continue to climb the ladder. It's a little early for that, probably to put him number two. But that's a really good question. Who's the number two player?
I'm with you on Rom for sure. The recency bias is crazy. I mean, it's way too early for Oberg, but like Rom last year to start the year was unbelievable, you know, and it's just, anyway, I just wanted to ask you that question. You're probably saying, you know, Keith, give me a takeaway or two from being there. These guys, and I think you'll love this takeaway. These guys are getting better at a rate with which I've never seen. And I've watched the game for a while now and you know that, but like, Scotty maybe is pushing them or not, but that golf course on Friday and Saturday was so hard.
Yeah.
I've certainly never been on property when it's ever been that hard, but I can't remember back. I remember that one Saturday in Bay Hill the year that Tyrrell Hatton won. It was like literally a bloodbath. But it was so hard on Friday, and the full field scoring average was just 3 over par. And I thought to myself, man, yep. I mean, like that includes like VJ and people. I'm like, what, how good are these guys these mm-hmm. days? Like literally, how freaking good are these guys? And then the next day it was super crispy, and they watered on Sunday morning, which told you that you knew that it was almost too crispy on Saturday because of those 2 days of sun and wind. But like the stroke average was just 2 over par. Now I know that was after the cut, but like, man, oh man, like these guys are getting so good at such a rate. It just blows my mind. And that's really my biggest takeaway from the whole week is that they, obviously Scotty does it every week, but the person that challenges him, let's say it's Wyndham and Xander at the Players, and then this time it was Max and Colin and whoever it may be at the next, this week or whatever it may be, right? Like these guys that are popping up are working so hard to get to that level. It's really super impressive.
Yep. No, I think it's a really good takeaway. And, you know, because it looked brutal, absolutely brutal on TV. And
it's unbelievable.
You know, I think there's a couple things in my head, and then we'll put a bow on the Masters and move to RBC.
All right.
You know, Scheffler, you know, we've talked about that. We've exhausted him and just how complete his game is. And now his putting is on the rise and, in that he can win tournaments different ways. I mean, I really feel like he didn't have his A game with his irons, and yet he drives the ball exceptional. His short game is just super crisp, and he makes enough putts. And so, wow, okay. So now he's going to win a major by 4 doing that.
Or by seven over the next guys, right?
You know, look, let me say something nice about Bryson too, because I've been critical of Bryson over the last couple of years. And I think Bryson's really, look, he's always going to be a little quirky. But I think Bryson, you know, I thought handled himself really, really well this week. And I think Data Dahlquist has done some really good things with him. I really do. And I know Mike Shy, I think, still part of his team now again. And so I thought Bryson came in there and played very good golf on a golf course that has given him fits. And I think he showed some real growth, and some real maturity as well. And so I was very impressed with Bryson and him going in there and finishing, what was it, T6. So kudos to Bryson. Scheffler, you are the man. We have a dominant player on our hands. I think he will be in RBC. We were talking off air before we came on, and you were saying, I don't think your due date is still a couple weeks away. So this is their first child. So what are the odds that the little one holds off until the actual due date? Which is, you know, being through it with a couple times with kids, that first one they usually do, not always, but he's got a tee time tomorrow. Let's see if he makes it there. And I can promise you the rest in this field and this elevated event, let's mention that RBC Heritage in Harbortown. Yep. I can tell you right now, the rest of that field is probably hoping, go ahead and let's just have this kid a little bit early, you know, and everybody, has a chance, if Mr. Scheffler's there, because, he's in the field. And he's 4-1. And as you go to the top of the board, and the next one is Xander at 12 and our boy Oberg at 14 and Rory at 14, who, by the way, before we get to our first look, just posted, Todd Lewis did a little interview with Rory, and he just shot down all of the, you know, rumors about Liv, which I have no doubt. I have no doubt Liv, Norman, somebody here, I'm sure planted some kind of rumor seed that, Rory's going to come to Liv for 850 and, you know, partial ownership in the league and all these things, but he's shot it down. His agent has shot it down. Let's move on from that. I have no doubt they're trying to poach Ludvig right now. I have no doubt they're trying to poach Victor Hovland right now. I have no doubt they're trying to poach Hideki Matsuyama right now. And we'll see where that takes us, but you go to the top of the board, Scheffler, Schauffele, Oberg, McIlroy, Cantlay, who's been unbelievable here, but I don't think that's where we're going to go with the first look. So a little teaser here. I'm going to open up to my man for the first look.
Where's my mouse? Hang on.
My man, what do you got?
I'm going, you know, for months now, I've been growing my hair out for this reason in the back, all right? All right? And the reason is that to celebrate Tommy Fleetwood's Oh, God. Tommy there Fleetwood, first victory on the PGA Tour.
Yes.
I'm attaching myself to Tommy Fleetwood this week for a number of reasons. If nothing else, the guy just finished, what, third at the Masters with a club caddy, you know? So
seventh at Valero, third at the Masters last two times out.
Yeah, 10th at Genesis. So those are places where you got to hit the fairway, hit the green, be able to score. He's a very underrated short game player, which you need this week. We'll get into all that. But my first click is I want to get behind Tommy Fleetwood this week. You know, I already I'm going to get hands on him, and I'm going to bless him, and this is what we're doing. This is Tommy Fleetwood.
I think it's a really good pick. And
four starts here, three top 25s, one top 10. I mean, it just fits. When you think about Tommy's game and that turn and burn, you just see him like just striping it down fairways and hitting greens, and that's what we need to do.
I like it too. You know, as I was going through the leader or the list here and who was going to be my first look. And of course we could go up to the top and Scheffler. And I always feel like we have to make always the statement like, look, we understand like Scheffler is the guy, right? Even last week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Scheffler is a no brainer and he's always on the list at this point. He's that dominant, but moving down the board and with the assumption of that, I like Fleetwood and I think he's finally starting to get his iron game back. And I think his iron game was a little loose there at the start of the season. I thought he drove it pretty well. I think his short game goes underrated. He's always one of the more underrated short game players. We know his putter can be a little up and down, and we've seen that. He was positive four at the Players, and then he comes back at Valero, and he actually lost a stroke and a half and finished seventh, a little better at the Masters, third. So I like where the iron game's going, and I like – and I think his putting's starting to get a little bit better as well. So I think it's a very good pick. And it was interesting, the two guys – all right, and I'm going to go ahead and flip this here to my guy. The two guys that really stood out to me
– Who we got?
As we look ahead to this week, both of them, slow start to the season.
Yeah.
Both of them looking for that first win on the PGA Tour.
All right. Okay.
So my guy is – it's so cheesy. I got to play it every single time. There he is.
An RBC.
And where is that range, by the way, what you see right now for those watching on video?
It's – I don't know. Like
it's right there. That Hilton.
300
feet. Yeah. There it is. It's Harbortown.
Yeah, 300 feet from me or something probably.
So that was a couple years ago. Kind of cruise on down, watch Mr. Young hit some shots, watch this pause. And Mr. Young, man, you want to talk about waiting on it, man. It's so good. Up to the top, catch it, and then fire it down. So look, it's been well documented. We've talked about it with Cameron Young, start of the year, you know, not his best. And like Fleetwood, putter's been not like Fleetwood. His putter's been really bad, actually. But Cameron Young... Cameron Young's iron game has been really good as of late. He's driving the ball well. And I know distance is not really important here, but I'm really like what I'm saying. I think he's gaining confidence for the first time this year. I think his putter's starting to show some signs. We've seen it the last couple weeks. He was second at Valspar and he was ninth at Augusta. So why not? Let's have a first time winner on the PGA Tour and two guys that deserve it. Tommy Fleetwood, who I like, I back you 100%, or Cam Young.
Cam Young, last eight majors, he has five top tens. It's pretty good. I just don't understand why he's not calling Phil Kenyon, because if Phil Kenyon fixed Scotty's putting and the depths that went to, I mean, God, Cam, get him on speed dial. Somebody, you know, it's got to be something other than dad at this point, because this kid, I mean, he's got seven runner-ups, but he has a third place here. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? So, like, I mean, he's played well here before, and he's a guy that bombs it. So, like, at the end of the day, I mean, we got to try something new with that putter, because it's the only thing that's holding him back from winning multiple times a year.
Well, it's getting a little better. Last couple of weeks, it's gotten a little bit better here. He's starting to show some signs. Looks like his bunkers game gotten a little bit better, too. which is a good thing. I think Cameron Young is gaining confidence quickly right now. And I think he comes in here and I feel like he's hungry. Maybe some of these guys come in with a little fatigue. And yeah. So, all right. Yeah. I like this as the week as maybe the first time winner on the PGA Tour that's been knocking on the door. I want to go back to the top of the board real quick before I let you drive the bus.
All right.
You know, Schauffele last week, kind of on brand, you know, finishing eighth. He was fourth here last year. You know, he'll certainly get a lot of play. Ober coming in, playing it for the first time. But I just want to mention one thing about Rory. And I was kind of touting Rory and obviously going to Butch and trying to free some things up, which I still think is going to be a good thing long term.
Okay.
But the thing that just drives me nuts about Rory, and I shouldn't be surprised, is the shot on 11. He's right in the middle of the fairway. He's got a shorter iron than most. The wind's howling. If you sat there and you watched TV for 2 hours, you will see every single player miss the green to the right. Okay. Yep. And they will get it up and down from there. If they're in trouble, they're going to play short and they're going to hit a 50-yard pitch shot. They are not messing with that flag. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter where it is. They're not messing with that flag. And what does Rory do? He's right there. I think he was even, I think, at that time or one over somewhere in there. And he steps up there and he hits it in the water in the left. And that is Rory McIlroy right there. That kind of silly mistake. Now, Ludwig did it, I know, a little bit later on. It's his first time around. Okay, I'll chalk it up to a little experience. Maybe he got a little greedy, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not Rory. You can't hit the ball in the water left on 11. Man, just drove me nuts watching that shot.
Yeah, so the career Grand Slam has obviously consumed him. You know, showing up last to the Masters last week, the famous caddy bib stories, number 89, you know, 89 players in the field. Rory's just thinking way too much about the whole thing. And something that I learned last week that I hadn't really ever paid attention to, but, the guys that have the career Grand Slam, they got the fourth leg within 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Rory's 10 years deep. Yeah. I mean, the skeletons in that closet are not good. So I don't know how he lets it go at this point because he wants to win there so badly. But going into this past week, just like changing everything up and then on that hole, not going with the flow and he just threw that thing straight up in the air as it blowing forward, you know, and like, what do you think was going to happen? I don't know. You know, playing with Scotty for him, like anyone, when the draw came out, and I love Xander last week, and when the draw came out and it was Xander and Scotty, I was like, we're done. I was you're starting to see it. You're starting to see guys press when they play with Scotty because he doesn't have any shots, and they start to think, well, gee, you need to be perfect too. And that goes back to the Tiger days. Like when you played with him, it's two different kinds of intimidation, but it's still intimidation. It forces you to get out of your element. And when you do that, then you've lost, right? So I think it was to Ludwig's benefit that he never played with Scotty all week. Mm-hmm. And some of those other guys did. I mean, Colin was a different player on Sunday than he was on Saturday and Friday, right?
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And I kind of chalked that up to playing with somebody that's really, really good. Now, fast forward to this week. I think there were two tweets last week that really gave me a chuckle. And the first one was about Cam Smith on Sunday. And it said, how do you shoot 71 at Augusta National with no birdies? Ask Cam Smith, right? Cause he had an eagle and a bogey. And I was like, that's like so Cam Smith, right? Like,
right.
You know, like he probably hit like two greens in regulation too, you know, like chipped in for eagle. Who knows what he did, but like, I mean, it's just classic. And the other one was, there was a moment on Sunday where both Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele were tied T9.
Mm-hmm.
And the tweet came out and it just said, has there ever been a more appropriate moment like in the 88th Masters? Like those two guys late on a Sunday, both tied T9. Like they're going to get their top 10 because they're that good, but they're nowhere near being anywhere mentioned as part of the tournament. And I don't know how they get away from that. You know, Cantlay, as good as he's been here, you know, all those top seven finishes and one missed cut. you know, you'd think he'd almost have a couple of wins. He's that great a player. Xander shows up last year, finishes fourth. It's really going to be interesting over the next couple months if one of those guys doesn't break through soon, because it's been a while for both of them.
Well, I'll say this. I think you bring up some really good points about Scotty and how he has separated himself, and now you're starting to see some guys crumble around him like we saw with Tiger.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting time right now for a lot of these guys. Do they start pressing? Do they start feeling like that they have to do something a little bit more dramatic with their game, change something to try to catch Scotty? Victor Hovland's not in the field this week. You know, we've talked about him over the last few weeks and him bouncing around with instructors. And look, this is no disrespect to any teacher. I just don't agree with a player at this level just jumping around and having eight teachers since turning pro at this point. I just don't think that's great for the genius that Victor Hovland is. I think at some point you're going to have some erosion there. You're playing golf swing. You're playing too much technicality versus just who Victor Hovland is, which is obviously great enough, winning the tour championship and arguably the best player at the end of last year. And so do they start feeling like, man, I have got to do something in order to catch this guy? And there's been a lot of guys, I mean, just struggling with their games. And does it tie to some of that, right? And just how far Scottie Scheffler has pushed ahead. I mean, you know, Morikawa, I mean, where we're at, I mean, the guy found something on the range and that kind of propelled him to a third place finish. I mean, he hadn't been showing any form. His putter has been a major struggle. His iron game has clearly not been anywhere near what we've seen with Morikawa in the past, losing two strokes, it seems like, just about every tournament with his iron game. And we can just go down the list with, you know, these players that are losing particular parts of the game. World-class players, by the way. I mean, where's Justin Thomas at? We'll get to that. I mean, this guy's is disappearing right now. Jordan Spieth ejected himself out of the Masters. It's such an interesting time with all of these great players and where they're at. Are they feeling, are they pressing? Gosh, I've got to do something different to catch Scottie Scheffler. I think it's going to be fascinating, really, over the next 2 or 3 months here as we get into major season. So on that note, we start pushing down here, right? And there's Fleetwood we talked about, Fitzpatrick, defending champ. Yep. Let me list a few guys and then you drive the boat. Okay. So Fitzpatrick, now we're in the 25s. Fitzpatrick, Homa, nice call on Will Zalatoris last week. Cameron Young, I mentioned, he's my first look. Siwoo Kim. Yep. There's Spieth down here at 33-1. Wyndham Clark down here around 33-1. Anybody interested in there?
I'm not going to go back to Zalatoris again, even though I walked with him a bunch last week. And I tell you, man, you want to talk about ball striking. Yeah. Oh, man, it's really good. It is really good. You know, I didn't spend a lot of time in this area of the board. Mainly because some of these guys to me feel like they're just way too unpredictable to get my money, you know? I mean, like if you were going through this list, like Siwoo, Spieth, Thigala, Clark, Henley, Lowry, Connors, I mean, like if you were going to put money down on one of these guys to at least just to do a top 10, right? I mean, immediately you'd go, well, pretty sure Corey Connors is going to show up ball striking wise, and pretty sure Russell Henley is going to on this kind of golf course is going to show up ball striking wise, and then I'm pretty sure like I have no idea what Jordan Spieth's going to do.
None.
Right.
He's missed the cut three of his last four tournaments.
Yeah, and the tournament that he did make the cut, he hit it in the gutter. You know, seriously, he hit it at the building. Like that was. He put himself in a position, like everyone jokes about that part, but like where was he to even think of that as an option, right? I mean, he was at that like water collection area, you know?
What would you tell Spieth right now? I mean, because clearly, you know.
I would say, Jordan, you have to win more than two times in the last 7 years.
Yeah. That's what you would tell him to motivate him?
No, I mean, my point is my point, right? Like we have keep carrying Spieth up on this platter.
Yeah.
And he's literally won twice here and Valero in the last 7 years since he won at Birkdale. Right. And God, does the PGA Tour need Jordan? Mm-hmm. I mean, does the world of golf need Jordan? I would root for, you know, people were saying to me over the weekend, they're like, Keith, who do you like? No one wants to, you know, like they're like, Scottie's going to win, but like, who do you think would be the best person to win? And I'm like, oh geez, at the top of that board, there's two guys that would be fantastic. Bryson number one, Max number two, or 1A and 1B, or 1B and 1A, whatever you want to go with. But like, those two guys would be so good for the popularity of the television game. The game itself is super popular. I mean, I could hear a fitting or a lesson going on right now in your studio, and it's always happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always happening, right? Like, people are playing and consuming and digesting the game. You know, I'm walking through airports. I got my Masters hoodie on, you know, leaving from one place, going to another. And it's like, people are like, oh, they're like, yo, man, you know, were you at the Masters? Yeah. Oh my God. You know, like, I love playing golf. I love this, whatever, you know, I mean, the ratings came out today. The Masters was the worst it's been since 2021.
It's because everybody's playing golf.
That's the thing. So like, if Max or Bryson had won, it would have drawn some people back. I mean, honestly, the biggest story of last week was like Jason Day's outfits. And that's not hyperbole. Like, literally, the stuff that caused the most social conversation, and that's the world we live in now, was Jason Day's clothing. It wasn't Scottie Scheffler's play. There was really no live PGA Tour controversy, even though they tried to build up that ROM thing. I mean, that was basically it. You know, Bryson carrying the cross. I mean, that was like, these are the things that like the world is paying attention to. And the tour, it would have been great if they had Homer or Bryson. I was excited to see Max back in that, or in that position for the first time, but like back playing good. I still look at this board. Like, I mean, like Denny McCarthy's sitting there at 55, and I feel better about Denny McCarthy or Russell Henley than I knew about any of these other guys.
Wow. That's a big statement. You know, I can understand your logic. I can understand your logic for sure. And just how far some of these guys are falling with their game right now. And I think Spieth, it's not just as recent, it's been really over the last few years, and he has shown moments of brilliance and he can get it around and he can, you know, get the win at Valero, whatever. But my goodness, I look at him and it's, going on here? I mean, a reset button of some sorts has got to happen here with Jordan Spieth of some sorts. I don't know what it looks like, but this isn't working. What we're watching.
Talk about his buddy JT. He laid up on 15 in the water. How does that ever happen at that level? They don't miss the ball like that. So maybe that's a reason you don't change your caddy the week before a major.
Yep.
Maybe you needed to so badly that, I mean, but like that's like a microcosm for like where their worlds are right now. Those guys are like Victor Hovland. Those guys are searching so badly. You know, when we're coming to major championships, you know, I'd be more apt to get my, you know, to hitch my wagon to a cart like Wyndham Clark or somebody like that, if he could stop saying stupid things and, you know, like, and seriously, and like, or Will Zalatoris, the way he hit the golf ball, you know, he was playing with Hideki, and I mean, he took Hideki behind the woodshed with how well he hit it. I mean, these shots that he was hitting, it was like, man, he flights it. Left to right, right to left. No wonder why he loves Augusta National. It challenges every aspect of his game. And, you know, it's impressive to watch. And, you know, these other guys, I guess the reset button, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just time to move on. I'm really not sure.
Well, I think to kind of keep moving down the board here, yeah, I think Fleetwood feels like a pretty safe bet right now in the way that he's been playing. I'm going to go with that. I like where Cameron Young, the trajectory of his game right now over the last couple weeks. I'm with you. I'm comfortable with Henley this week. I really am. He's played well here. You kind of know what you're going to get. Can he, you know, maybe making a couple other, you know, 25, 35 footers that all of a sudden, you know, gets him up there in the first part or top two and has a great Sunday. He seems relatively safe, as does Corey Connors and his ability to strike the golf ball and keep it around him.
Yeah.
You know, I think the question for me in this part of the board is, do I go back to Thagala? He made the cut. You know, Thagala has a top 10 here. He's played here twice. I think he missed the cut once and then a top 10. And, you know, I've kind of talked about his game and how I'm steadily seeing growth with his game, you know, throughout. So I'm kind of notorious of coming off of him, and then the guy gets in there, you know, and he's a top five. So I'm gonna hang with Thigala another week.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna hang with him. I'm seeing some guys talking about Finau, you know, this week. You know, and we didn't really do our traditional course breakdown, which might be kind of a good segue here as we get into the middle of the board and maybe someone okay. that we like that would fit this profile. But this is really, you know, what's interesting about this place, and I'll give you the floor. There's two things about this place. One is Hilton Head's very dangerous at night. That's number one. Okay. Ooh. Like, you've got to be careful driving around that place. There's no lights. There's no street lights.
I didn't know where you're going with that.
No, not like crime, but have you noticed there's no street lights in Hilton Head?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a tourist place, right? So people are coming in, they don't know where they're going, and there's no street lights. I'm telling you, man, I've been there a dozen times, and it's be careful now. That's what I'm saying. Be careful if you're driving at night. All right, that's number one. Number two is, you know, it's not a real long course. Pete Dye, you know, you don't have to sit there and bomb driver. You just got to, you know, find the angles in the fairway. Yeah. But you look at it, it's not, you think, all right, it's a wedge fest. It's not. It's actually, you have a decent amount of middle irons here. There's a lot of guys hitting, you know, from 150 to 175, yeah. 175 to 200. You're gonna miss a fair amount of greens. Probably more so here than on your average tour event. So you got to have some short game as well. I mean, that's kind of how I've seen that place when I was there and I played it once.
What's interesting is that the two golf courses over these 2 weeks couldn't look any more different.
It's true.
They couldn't be any more different. I mean, it's all like North Pole, South Pole, right? But the skill set is so similar, it's eerie, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so they say here at Hilton Head, you're going to hear it all week. You have to hit the fairway. You have to hit the fairway. It's tight. You have to hit the fairway. Last week at Augusta, the fairways were twice as wide. But what did we talk about? Width and angles. You have to hit the correct side of the fairway at Augusta, which makes it what? Half as wide. All right, so if you were a guy in contention and you were hitting that half of the fairway at Augusta, then chances are you could probably hit the thinner fairways here. All right. How about greens in regulation? You got to get to 50 greens in regulation at Augusta National. You got to get greens in regulation. You got to do that. Oh, what do we need to do? We need to hit our mid irons well. 175 to 200, maybe a little over 200, maybe a little bit under 175, right? What do you have to do at Sea Pines down here at Harbortown Golf Links? You've got to be really good from 175 to 200 because that's where your four par threes are going to sit. That's where, because you have to lay up off the tee because some of the dog legs, you're going to be hitting shots in that range. So we're two for two on the things that you need from last week and this week. And the field is essentially the same. The third one is that last week we went on, you know, on and on and on about it being the toughest short game test on the tour. And it is. But this week, it's another one. I mean, the last 10 winners have gained over 3 strokes on the field on average around the green. Mm-hmm. And you also use that for scoring on the par fives because they have some funky dog legs. So like that and number nine, it's drivable, but nobody ever hits the green. So like you're always right around the green. So like, the around the green, the greens in regulation or mid iron approach shots and hitting the right side of the fairway or hitting tight fairways here. For me, it's like the same three things. Course management, maybe throw that in for a fourth, but you know, so in a lot of ways, if you know, we're not gonna, I do have a Scotty bet this week that you can ask me later that I'm going to make, but like, you know, like, if guys are good at doing those things, or they have been good here in the past doing those things, in the middle of the board, I love a guy because of his course history and the way he's playing right now, like Cam Davis. And that's why I struggle in the middle there with like JT or Thigala or some of these guys, because we've been betting them all year and I haven't won. So I'm like, I got to do something different, right? Like I need to pick, I mean, I'm using the same process, but I got to pick different guys.
Yeah.
Right. Like, We've hitched our wagon to Thigala a lot, and he's a very talented player. But, like, I'm going to go with Cam Davis because Cam Davis has played here three times, a 25th, a 3rd, and a 7th in that order, right? In those three starts, he's gained an average of over 6 strokes on the field, tee to green. And he's putted well here. So, like, the guy, like, he likes this golf course. He hits the ball really well. But he's long off the tee. He's great with his wedges. He's good around the green. And he's above average, maybe average with his putter. Well, if you love Ludwig this week, and he's at 14 or 15 to 1, and Cam's at 65, 66, he's like a poor man's Ludwig. They're a very similar player. And that's where my head's going in this section, mainly because last week he finished, what, 12th at Augusta? He's in good form, doing the things that you need in order to play well here.
Yeah, he just had the bad Sunday. He was, he was 3 over on Sunday, still finished T12. Yeah, I've already played Davis. You know, he's one of my guys. So yeah, I like Davis here a lot as well. And I pulled up 175 to 200 last 24 rounds proximity. Eric Van Rooyen's one. And then there's Cameron Young is two, you know, so there's a guy that, and then defending champ Fitzpatrick is three. Will Zalatoris is four.
Yeah. I mean, look at that list. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Eck wrote, you know, five. Eck wrote kind of sneaky. He's kind of a sneaky mid to long iron player. Like he's good from that distance.
I mean, that's why Eckroat's biggest weakness, he drives the ball great, he's a good mid-iron player, is that he's not a very good short game player. So that's what might hold him back this week. And I think the only thing that holds Will back this week is his putter, because unlike last week where you putt to survive, this week you putt to score. Mm-hmm. You know, those last 10 winners, they average somewhere in the ballpark of like 19 birdies en route to victory, right? So the first guy that gets to 20 subpar scores this week essentially wins if he doesn't go – like full Jordan and eject some part in the middle of the tournament, right? So like you have to make more putts. And Zalatoris, I feel like, is too good of a two putt guy versus a convert type of guy. And the, and that's kind of one of those like little like edges that when you get down to the guys that you're like, okay, is this guy like, I'm down to like these two guys. Which one am I going to go with? Well, you got to go with guys like putts per green and regulation because you need to convert here. You're going to make bogeys. It's that tight and you're swinging that hard. You're going to hit some shots in the trees or you're going to miss some greens and end up against some railroad ties or something stupid that Pete Dye put there. And you're going to, you know, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to make some bogeys. So, 20 birdies, who can make that many birdie putts?
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's you've been out there. I've been curious. I've been trying to do a little research. What's wrong with Sungjae? What's going on there? I mean, here's a guy, another guy. You know, we've been talking about players that are kind of falling off here a little bit. Like we've talked about Spieth. We've talked about JT, Morikawa. The struggle is real, even though he found something. Cantlay's been struggling. You know, but we haven't spent a lot of time on Sungjae. And I'll tell you, Sungjae is just not playing good golf. He's all the way down here. You know, I'm seeing 65, 70. There's some 80 to ones out there. What is up with Mr. M?
The iron game's not good.
Yeah. Well, it's none of it's good.
Well, I watched him. Where did I watch him? It was a while ago because it was on the West Coast. And I was like, Sungjae's not playing well on the West Coast. And this is where he does play well. So like, if he was ever comfortable somewhere, it would be out here and it wasn't good. And then I watched him on the range on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. It kind of blurs, but the iron game was just like, it wasn't good. You know, it was like watching Brooks during practice rounds last week. Brooks during the practice round last week was like, it was like Roy McIlroy. You know, I mean, he was like hitting balls in the water all the time. It was scary, you know, like, I haven't spent a lot of time on Sungjae because he hasn't given me a reason to. I watched him once. And there's a lot of guys out here that I got to get to. And the iron game didn't like it, it just didn't look good. And I said, oh, he'll work his way through that. And that was now 2 months ago. So I would, if you're going to do a deep dive on him, do you just need to look at the iron game? Because, you know, over his last, what, like 5 starts, he's, you know, last 10 starts, he's just losing tons of shots with his irons.
Yeah, he's got, you know, the reason I brought it up, he's got 3 top 20s here in the last 3 years, but you know, we've been talking a lot about the struggle of a lot of these top shelf players. And to me, Sung Jae, I don't know if he was top shelf, but he was certainly the level underneath it. As far as guys that were on the,
the
come up, former rookie of the year, all those things. So, hopefully he can get that back, because you start losing your iron game on the PGA Tour. It's, good luck with that. All right. Now we're moving down. We're down here into the 80s. We're down here into the 90s, and, we're looking for, I'm looking for, I need a good iron game here. I need really strong iron game, particularly in that middle iron game. And then give me a solid short game, and maybe some, give me some Bermuda splits as well for someone that's going to handle these, Bermuda greens. What do you got down here in the, as we push into 100?
Yeah. Two names, that I'm sure I've already come across your research, but if they haven't, I've been impressed with watching them play, certainly last week. But Taylor Moore and Adam Shank are playing some really, really solid golf. And for all intents and purposes, it's a good fit for both of them down here. Taylor Moore played good here last year. Adam Shank, he plays great at a place like Valspar last year. Why? Because he puts the ball in play on tight golf courses, and he's pretty good with his putter. So, Shank was great last week at his first Masters. So, I think he's probably feeling pretty good about where his game is at. So, as you're pushing into that, 75, 90 range, obviously anytime we're talking about mid-iron play and positional golf, you could certainly bet on Tom Hoagie to be somebody that's a good middle tier placement type of guy, DFS type of guy. Will he win? I don't know. I don't know if he can make those 20 subpar scores, but those are three names in that area where we were always talking about guys like Eric Cole and stuff like that, who hasn't been, these guys have kind of this is their couple of months where they're playing good. And I think now's the time to catch them.
Yeah. I like Shank here. I like Shank a lot. I think that's a good pick. He played some really good golf last week out there at Augusta. Yeah, I'm just cruising through the board here.
So quick Shank story. I walked by him in the parking lot this morning, and I was like, hey, Adam. And I've interviewed him on the radio before, so we know each other enough to know each other's faces. And I just said, hey, Adam. I said, great playing last week, And he was like, you know what? It was. He goes, that was great. He was just like – and he wasn't saying it in any way, shape, or form being cocky, but he was like – I put a lot of time and effort into playing well there. I wanted to play well there, and I pulled it off. So he just exuded a lot of confidence. And I was like, oh man, I was like, you're talking about a guy who finished top 10 on the tour last year. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. No
doubt.
It
was either eighth or ninth. I think it was ninth, but eighth or ninth at Eastlake. This guy was top 10 on the tour last year. And he's good at these things. So forget the last name. He doesn't shank it, man. The guy's – it's a good.
Yeah, we're getting shorter field, no cut this week, of course. I think that's probably – I think I've probably said enough. I'm probably happy with that. I'm going into some past history. Shank's had three missed cuts. He's had – as of late in the last 3 years, he's finished in the top 30 a couple times.
He's a different player.
He is a different player. I agree. One guy, there's two guys that are kind of hanging in my head. And, one, I'm going to bypass the other. do we give Lowry? You were big on Lowry last week.
Yeah.
Do we give him? I mean, this is a guy that's finished in the top 9 three times here in the last 5 years. So, Lowry's like in this place. Now, he didn't play great last year, but you're going to have those years where you don't play good in a place all the time. I mean, look, man, he's got a couple top threes here. I think that's the only other name that I'm kind of debating is a Shane Lowry.
I'll have to go deeper there. The Irish Bear kind of pissed me off last week. So
I knew that would hit a chord.
there was a couple of things that happened.
Got it, folks. I finally got to him.
There was a couple of things. It's like I spent 2.5 days in a wind tunnel, without any phone or any contact to the real world. It was, I absolutely loved every minute of it, but when certain things weren't going our way, and then it was just like, you know, Scotty time all over again. Which, before we go in closing, I am so live this week on Parlay and Scotty and Nelly to both win.
Okay.
Nelly's going for her fifth win in a row, first major of the year, on a golf course where she finished third or one shot out of a playoff last year, and totally suits her game, mm-hmm. right? And she's just dominating and doing things where the women show up and they're like, I don't want to play with Nelly, right? She's just playing that good. I mean, she's won four times in a row this year. Listen to this real quick. And you know, I cover the LPGA from a betting perspective, but she wins in January, takes 7 weeks off while they go all over the world, right? Then she wins again. Then she wins again. Then they go to Vegas and they play their match play event, mm-hmm. and she wins that one. So she's done everything you need to do. She's won in the desert. She's won in the hills of southern Los Angeles. She's won in Florida. Then now she's going down to Houston, Texas, or the Woodlands area, just north of there. And she's going to play the first major championship. And she's sitting there at 5-1. And the next closest person's like 22-1. So, I mean, what does everyone else tell you? There isn't a person who wants to go in that interview room and say, hey, I could beat Nelly, right? And, of course, nobody could beat Scotty. So you put them both together. I mean, I feel – honestly, I mean, I feel better about that bet happening, like coming true, than I do about, like, one of these guys beating Scotty, like, head-to-head this week, unless Meredith makes the phone call, right?
So what you're saying is dominant as Scotty has been – Nelly's been even more dominant.
Equally. I'm just going to say equally, because they're both at the pinnacle of their craft. Yeah. And we should pay attention to it because it's really cool. And I think if that gets a couple of listeners and viewers locked into what's going to go on in Houston this week and her kind of move here towards, you know, history. And I mean, she's just so well suited to this golf course. And, you know, Scotty, like we said, Scotty played here the first time last year. He came in T11 and he gained 9 strokes on the field. Just, it didn't work out that week. You know, like, I mean, like, it's crazy. So, if we're in this mode where you just can't bet the men anymore because you have to bet every tournament, you know, winner without Scotty, which is fun, but it cuts all the odds and everything. Like, then I'm going to have fun in other ways because I want to win.
Well, let's see. Where do we go next here? This is, we've got
the team.
Yeah, we go team, right? So we go Zurich next week up in Louisiana. Then we go to Texas.
Go to Dallas,
Myron.
Yeah,
we got the Wells Fargo there in Charlotte, and
then Valhalla,
opposite of Myrtle Beach, and then we go to Valhalla. Okay. Wow, yeah. Just like that, we are almost at the PGA Championship. Just like that.
Hit the brakes.
All right, man.
I get to go home for a couple weeks.
Yeah. After this. Yeah. You've been on the road. Get some rest. And enjoy the win by Scotty Scheffler this week.
I love the low country. Oh,
and
man.
Be careful. Damn it. Be careful driving around there at night. All right. There he is. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. We'll be back next Tuesday. Good stuff.